Welcome to the Somebody Died For You podcast, where we are advancing the light of Jesus Christ at the expense of darkness. My name is Corey Peters. Several years ago, I believe that God, through His Holy Spirit, called me to intentionally impact darkness in my community with the love and light of Jesus Christ. This podcast will share stories from my encounters over the last several years as I attempt to step out of my comfort zone and follow God into high-need areas. I'm a husband, father, teacher, and a coach who loves Jesus. I believe He wanted to challenge me with the high cost of Jesus' shed blood on the cross. What was I doing with it? At the end of this podcast, I will include a phone number. I would like you to call and leave a message of a prayer request, praise report, and or specifically a place in your community you would like us and our listeners to lift up in prayer. We believe that God is just waiting to positively impact our communities with the same love that propelled Him to send Jesus over 2,000 years ago. In the previous podcast, I told about an encounter that I had at a gas station where I believe the Lord prompted me to purchase the gas for a woman. Little did I know that God was using this encounter as a springboard to propel me to impact people in high-need areas in Waterloo, Iowa, South Chicago, and Rosebud Indian Reservation. In this episode, I really want to back up and share with you a few personal and deep experiences that I believe God used to lead me into broken areas armed with His love. Love wins. But first, let me start with a short testimony. I was born in a small town, north central Iowa, town called Humboldt. We lived on a second home on a family farm. Within the first few years of my life, my parents divorced. My mother, an older brother, and I moved to town. I have a wonderful mom and a great brother, and my mother worked hard to support us. In a few years, she remarried to the man that I know as Dad. I grew up and found myself in trouble a lot, especially during elementary school. I didn't know how to handle conflict well, and I felt rejected by my biological father. I knew about God, but I didn't really know Him. When I was 12, my biological father asked me to come and spend time with him in Oregon. I was excited to show him what a good kid I was and what he'd missed out on all these years. When I arrived, I soon found out that he lived in a home with nice people, but they were struggling with drug addiction, in which he was a part of. I was heartbroken. He was in a relationship with a woman who was doing her best to keep me out of that home while I was there. That was a tough 6 weeks for me personally. When I came home, I remember grabbing a King James Bible. It was given to me by a local Lutheran church. I remember holding it up, knowing that I couldn't understand much on my own. But I remember saying out loud that I was going to start reading one verse every night to find out who God was for myself. I wanted to see if I believed in Him. I thought Jesus was up in heaven pointing His finger at me in disappointment for all the bad choices I was making. But I committed to reading one verse every day, no matter if I was sick, staying at someone's house, or traveling. It was really the best decision I ever made. I stuck with it. But I found a Jesus much different than the one I thought I knew. Instead of holding and pointing His finger at me and looking at me in disgust, He was holding His arms out wide for me. Read Luke 15 for yourself. There are pictures of lost people over and over again. The real Jesus, the Jesus in the Bible, risks and abandons everything for them. I was one of those lost people, and I still am from time to time, but He found me. He started changing me from the inside out. That anger that I had, that resentment that I had, all started to dissipate. God's Word is alive. I went from a kid who'd had parents tell their son not to hang around me to a student that parents called to see if their child could hang around me as I got into high school. God not only changed me from the inside out, He placed a great family and supportive coaches around me. Fast forward to college. I played football at the University of South Dakota, and I still read my Bible every night. Even when we traveled to games, every once in a while, a player would come up and ask me, you know, what's so different about you? You look like you have something different. There's something different about you. and I'd get to tell them about Jesus. But then again, on the weekends, I'd be drinking and boozing right next to everybody. I was kind of 1 foot in and 1 foot out most of the way through college, and I know I missed many opportunities there for sure. I moved to Waterloo, Iowa, got married to my high school sweetheart, and we had our first child. I soon started teaching at an alternative high school in Waterloo. I loved that job. I loved Jesus. I went to church every week. I watched the right kind of movies and even didn't swear too much. Well, you get the picture. It was during this time that God really started working in me. The first incident happened with a picture. God has used that way to speak to me over the years and still does. But this picture was a little unusual. It flashed in my mind many times during the day. I would be taking attendance in class, and I would see it. I would wake up in the morning, I would see it. Supper time and bedtime were no exception. For weeks, I would see the same picture over and over again. The picture was me standing before God in heaven. I was standing before His throne. In that situation, you would have thought I'd been ecstatic, right? Remember, I'm a good Christian. I would expect me to be jumping for joy, but this wasn't the picture. That wasn't the picture I had. In my picture, I had my head hung low in embarrassment. The picture haunted me. I kept asking God, what is this picture about? Why was I looking that way? As months went by, the answer was unfolding through prayer. Here's what I believe was the answer. What was I doing with the precious blood of Jesus Christ? What was I doing to impact all the hearts that God placed around me? Just being a good guy wasn't enough. How was I impacting their hearts for eternity? I was heartbroken. I was coaching varsity football at the time. I had great relationships with my players. I also had great relationships with my students and colleagues at Expo Alternative High School. But nothing of an eternal value was really happening. I started to pray and ask Him these questions. Now what? Now what do you want me to do? Soon, I believe He led me to start a fellowship of Christian athletes group. That summer, I switched jobs. I started teaching at a junior high in Cedar Falls. We shortly started an FCA group, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Kids started coming, started learning about Jesus. An eternal impact, right? I thought I was a pretty good Christian. That summer, my wife, daughter, son, and I were going to Des Moines, Iowa to an amusement park. We stopped at a gas station. I had no idea that my life was about to change forever. My family went in before me to the bathroom, and I was walking in behind them. As I entered the store, I looked to my right to see a tall man with black hair, a black and gray plaid jacket at the counter. He also had working boots on. And I looked to the left and saw the back of a beautiful little girl. It was like that moment just stood still. This little girl was about 4 years old, and she had beautiful blonde hair. As I was looking, she swayed back and forth, from 1 foot to the other. Her head was looking down to the ground. On one hand, she looked beautiful, normal, but I just kind of felt in my gut that something just wasn't right. The man, who I'm guessing was her father, started yelling. I'm guessing he had been drinking. He started screaming, "Get over here! I thought I told you to stay away from that candy, damn it!" I just froze. The hair on my body started to stand up. I hate seeing people yell at kids. I looked at the girl, and she slowly turned around, and my eyes just couldn't believe what I saw. She had a major facial deformity. Her bottom lip was turned inside out and was extremely large and purple, and it hung well below her chin. And she had drool coming out both sides of her mouth and hitting the floor. You know, it wasn't from abuse. It was just, I'm guessing, how she was born. She had a big purple splotch on her neck and part of her face. You would have thought a great Christian guy like myself could have gone over to the dad and said, "Hey, man, looks like you're having a rough day. Could I pray with you?" Or maybe I could have said something to this nice little girl. Or maybe I could have knelt down and offered her a hug or done something. But do you know what I did? I turned around and walked out the door. I was scared to get involved. I broke. I went inside my van. My family was still in the bathroom. I slammed the door and I started screaming at God. I started hitting the steering wheel. Snot was coming out of my nose. I was screaming that something has to change. I said, if this is who I am, I'm nothing. I'm nothing as a husband, a father, or a coach. If I can't take your love into a broken situation, then I'm nothing. And I can't do this anymore. Something has got to change. I'm sick of being a fraud. To say I did some soul searching after that incident is an understatement. I believe the Lord started prompting me to intentionally go into dark and broken areas. Not to bring judgment and here's what you need to do to be like me type of attitude. Everybody's going to hell. No. Jesus could have done that. But he brought his love and he brought his light. I was nervous. I was from a small town in Iowa, Humboldt, 5,000 people. Did he want me to pray for people I didn't know? I would be uncomfortable, that's for sure. But I'd flash back to that picture of that little girl in the gas station. I wouldn't go back to that. I couldn't go back to that. So I prayed for this for about 6 months. How would we do it? Where would we go? What do I say? Who do I bring with me? Then I believe the Holy Spirit spoke something to my heart. I didn't hear it with my ears. I know it wasn't audible, but I knew I heard it in my heart. I knew it was clear, and I knew it was him right away. He said, are you against drugs and violence in your community? I snapped my head back. I said, that's a terrible question for you to ask me. I said it all in my mind. I said, you know my story and background. I was terribly offended. I absolutely am against this in my community. Just then, once again, he flashed a picture in front of my eyes. It was one of the most clearest, vivid pictures ever. It was me sitting reclined completely all the way in my favorite blue big man's recliner with my remote in my hand. At that point, I knew what he thought of my answer. I knew he was saying, get going. I knew for me, my life was never going to be the same again. In the following episodes, I will share some of the very first encounters that we had almost 6 years ago. Some times where God really showed up, as well as some epic failures by me. I don't want to paint the picture that I do it right every time. Just last week, God set something up and I knew he wanted me to pray for somebody and it should have been super easy, but I still missed it. So I miss it all the time. My hope is that you'll hear some stories and that you'll follow God's lead for yourself. And my hope is that you'll take the steps to follow him as he leads you to impact the lost and broken in your area. Also, I can't go on without acknowledging the great support network that God has put around me, from my wife and children, to my parents, in-laws, to friends and teammates, and especially the Heartland Vineyard Church, who has supported me since the very first day. God has certainly placed some strong, talented men and women around this ministry as our prayer team partners who not only partner from afar to pray, but also send donations to support us, but also go with us. And we couldn't do it without any one of them. Let me pray, and then we'll continue with our phone number, and we want you to call in. Please call in. We want this to develop into a community, and we can't do it without you. Dear Papa, thank you for every ear listening to this. Bless them. Draw them near to you. Reveal yourself to them just as you did to a lost 12-year-old boy over 30 years ago. Let the truth and the love of Jesus Christ surround them. Let the freedom purchased by the cross lead them in love. In Jesus' name, amen. Here are this week's prayer requests and praise reports. Please call 319-435-1758 to pray for someone you heard on this podcast, to share a praise report, or share an area in your city that you would like God to impact in Jesus' name. He will do it. He's going to do it. He may use you to do it, but he's going to do it. So once again, that phone number is 319-435-1758. You're welcome to check out somebodydiedforyou.com, and you can read through some of my previous blogs, some I'll be sharing in the future. We love you. We'll see you next time on Somebody Died For You podcast. Bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, Corey. Chris, my prayer request is for our Orchard Hill family with all the tragedy that has struck our school in the last week. Thank you.
I would just like to give a praise report for my friend Kylie, who's turning 15 today. Hi, Dad.